Real power is when you feel everything, but react to nothing. Think about how often your day gets thrown off because of one text, one comment, or one wrong tone. You were fine, and suddenly your whole mood changes. That's not just stress, that's emotion leading your life. And if you don't stop it, it keeps happening. You say things you don't mean, you do things that don't help. You hurt people or you hurt yourself, not because you're a bad person, but because you never learned how to pause. This isn't about ignoring your feelings, it's about learning how to lead them. It's about being able to sit in the middle of a storm and still choose your next move with clarity. When you master the power of not reacting, everything changes. You stay calm, you stay clear, you protect your energy. That's what this is about, how to stop letting emotions take over and finally lead your life with strength. Chapter 1. Face the urge to react without needing to obey. You're going to face moments in life that shake you. Moments when something someone says hits you hard, when someone's tone sounds disrespectful, when a message you didn't expect shows up and stirs something in you. In those exact moments, something inside you wants to react. You feel it in your chest, maybe in your throat, maybe even in your hand. It builds up fast, and the first thing your emotions want is a reaction. But here's the truth. Just because the urge is there doesn't mean you have to follow it. You can feel the tension rise and still not act on it. That's the start of real power. That's when you begin to gain control over your emotions instead of letting your emotions control you. See, the world doesn't teach us how to pause. It teaches us to respond quickly, to defend ourselves, to speak up when we feel challenged, to prove we're right, to fire back if we're hurt. And that's why so many people stay stuck. They live their whole lives obeying every single emotional impulse they feel. They think their emotions are the truth. But emotions are not facts. They're signals, and signals are meant to be read, not obeyed. There is a space, a very small one, between the emotion you feel and the action you take. Most people ignore that space. Strong people train themselves to use it the moment something upsets you. There's a split second where you feel the heat, you feel the tension, your thoughts start racing, and in that split second, you have a choice. You can act on the feeling, or you can face the urge, observe it, and not give in. That's what self-control is. It's not about not feeling anything. It's about not being controlled by everything you feel. You have to train your mind to ask the right question in that moment. Not, how do I respond? But, do I even need to respond? Not, what should I say back? But, is this worth my energy at all? When someone says something offensive, you don't have to answer them. When someone criticizes you unfairly, you don't have to defend yourself. When someone pushes your buttons, you don't have to let them win. And most importantly, when your emotions scream for attention, you don't have to give them the final say. You are not weak for feeling angry. You are not wrong for feeling hurt. Those are real human emotions. But you're stronger when you don't let those emotions run your behavior. Reacting out of emotion gives power to everything around you. Choosing not to react gives power back to you. Now here's the key. You can train this. You can build this like a muscle, but it takes work. It takes awareness. You can start with small things. When someone cuts you off in traffic, when a message online feels disrespectful, when someone talks down to you, feel the emotion rise, but don't obey it. Just sit with it for a moment. Let it be there. Don't run from it. Don't fight it. Just notice it. Feel it fully. Then choose your next move with purpose. That's how real control begins. Not with big dramatic changes, but with small moments of self-awareness, you will feel the need to react, you will feel the pull, but you are not your emotions, you are not your reactions, you are the one watching it all unfold, and that means you're the one who can make a different choice. So many people ruin their peace over things they could have ignored. They argue with people they could have walked away from. They explain themselves to people who already made up their minds. They react out of fear, pride, anger, or insecurity, and all it does is keep them stuck in a loop. A loop where every emotion leads to action, and every action leads to regret. But when you break that loop, when you start facing the urge to react without giving in, you step into a different kind of life. A life where you stay calm under pressure. A life where you walk away with dignity. A life where your peace becomes more important than being right. There is no strength in being loud. There is no strength in being quick to anger. There is strength in knowing how you feel and still choosing not to lose yourself in it. That kind of strength takes practice. It takes patience. But it pays off in every area of your life. You will have better relationships because you're no longer overreacting to small things. You will have more confidence because you're no longer emotionally controlled by other people. You'll think more clearly. You'll act more intentionally. You'll say less and mean more. You'll feel proud of how you handle difficult people. You'll be calm in situations that used to shake you. You'll be still when everything around you is noisy, and people will notice. People respect those who don't react to everything, because it shows maturity, it shows growth, it shows real leadership, and you don't need to be perfect at it. You just need to practice it every day. Maybe today you hold your tongue during an argument. Maybe tomorrow you pause for 5 seconds before you reply. Maybe the next day you walk away instead of staying in the drama. These small wins matter. Every time you choose not to react, you're getting stronger. It's easy to explode. It's easy to lash out. But staying calm, that's real discipline. And discipline is what builds the kind of life most people wish they had. A life where you're no longer controlled by what happens around you, because you've mastered what's happening inside of you. Don't be the person who reacts to everything. Be the one who chooses, the one who decides, the one who keeps control. That's what emotional maturity looks like. That's what real self-respect feels like. It's not about winning every argument. It's about walking away with your peace. You don't need to prove anything to anyone. You don't need to respond to everything that offends you. You don't need to carry the weight of every emotional reaction. You're allowed to feel everything, but you are also allowed to rise above it. The urge to react will always be there, but so will your ability to pause, to reflect, to breathe, to let things pass. And in that pause, in that choice, is where your power lives. You want to change your life? Start right there. Face the urge to react, look it in the eye, and say, "Not this time." That's strength. That's growth. That's how you win. Chapter 2. Let people feel wrong without fixing their view. One of the hardest things for people to do is to let someone believe something wrong about them and not try to fix it. Human beings are wired to want to be understood. We want to be seen clearly. We want to be heard and validated. We want to correct people when they get us wrong. But if you want to grow into a stronger and wiser version of yourself, you need to learn this one thing. Not every misunderstanding needs your time, your words, or your emotional energy. There are going to be people in your life who misunderstand you, people who twist your words, people who judge your actions without knowing your heart. people who assume the worst and never ask questions. And the natural pull is to jump in and explain yourself, to defend your side, to prove them wrong, to show them your intentions were pure. But what you have to understand is this: not everyone deserves that from you. Sometimes people aren't misunderstanding you because they don't know better. Sometimes they're misunderstanding you because it gives them power, or because they're committed to their version of you, or because they have no interest in understanding anything beyond their own view of the world. And trying to change those minds, it drains you. It eats at your peace. It turns your calm into conflict. And most of the time, it doesn't change anything. You don't owe everyone your explanation. You don't need to fix every opinion. If someone wants to see you as the problem, they will, no matter how well you explain your side. And here's what's even harder to accept. Some people feel more comfortable believing the wrong version of you because it fits their narrative, because it protects their ego, because it makes them feel right. And if that's the case, no amount of facts, honesty, or truth will change their mind. The only thing you'll be doing is wasting your time. When you let people feel wrong about you and walk away without defending yourself, that's not weakness, that's power. That's emotional maturity. That's choosing peace over ego. You're not abandoning the truth, you're protecting your energy. And in a world that constantly wants your reaction, protecting your energy is one of the most powerful things you can do. You have to ask yourself, why do I need them to understand me? Is it really going to change anything? Will their opinion of me affect my growth, my peace, or my future? And if the answer is no, you need to learn how to move forward without dragging their view of you with you. You're not responsible for the thoughts other people choose to live with. You're not here to convince everyone. You're good. You're here to live with integrity and stay true to your values. You know who you are. You know what you meant. You know your heart. And that has to be enough. Because if you keep chasing the approval of people who misunderstand you, you'll never find rest. You'll always be performing, always explaining, always correcting, and slowly you'll start to lose parts of yourself in the process. This doesn't mean you stop caring about people. This doesn't mean you never clear things up when it truly matters. It means you learn to tell the difference between a conversation that brings clarity and one that just feeds drama. If someone is ready to listen, if they're coming from a place of openness, if they value the relationship, then sure, have the conversation, speak your truth. But if their mind is already made up, if they're looking to argue, if they're attached to being right, then don't waste your breath. Your peace is more important than someone else's approval. Your growth is more important than their opinion. Your time is more valuable than any argument designed to bring you down. Some people will never say sorry. Some people will never admit they got it wrong. And some people will rewrite the story to make you the villain so they don't have to take responsibility for how they treated you. Let them. Let them hold on to the version of the story that makes them feel safe. You don't need to correct it. You don't need to fight it. You just need to move on with your head high and your heart clear. Think about how many hours of your life you've spent defending yourself. Think about how many times you've replayed a conversation in your head, trying to come up with the perfect response. Think about how often you've worried about what someone might be saying behind your back. All of that is energy being taken away from the things that actually matter: your goals, your healing, your future, your self-respect. When you stop needing everyone to see you a certain way, you become free. You stop living in response to other people's opinions. You stop being reactive. You stop chasing approval. And you start choosing peace. You start showing up for yourself. You start showing up for your voice when it counts, not when it's being demanded. You have to remind yourself, Not every battle is worth fighting. Not every opinion is worth addressing. Not every person is worth convincing. And the people who truly matter, the people who care about you, who respect you, who value truth, they will ask questions. They will listen. They won't assume the worst. They will give you room to be human, to be misunderstood, to be more than just their perception. But those who don't, let them go. Let them believe what they want. Let them feel wrong and let yourself feel free. The urge to explain yourself will come up strong. It will come up fast. But pause. Ask yourself, what's the cost of this reaction? What am I giving up to be understood by someone who doesn't want to understand me? Is it worth it? Most of the time, it's not. And here's the truth. People will talk whether you explain yourself or not. People will judge whether you defend yourself or not. People will create stories whether you clear things up or not. So stop making their opinions your job. That's their mind. That's their business. You stay focused on yours. There is a calmness that comes when you no longer feel the need to be right in everyone's eyes, when you no longer need everyone to see the real you, when you accept that some people will always see you through the filter of their own fear, jealousy, or misunderstanding. You didn't come here to make everyone happy. You didn't come here to be liked by everyone. You came here to grow, to live with purpose, to walk in truth, to become someone you're proud of. And that journey does not require fixing every false idea someone has about you. So walk your path. Be kind, be honest, be strong. And when someone misreads you, misjudges you, or misunderstands you, pause, breathe, and ask yourself if you really need to say anything at all. Most of the time, silence is your strength. Moving forward is your answer, and peace of mind is your reward. Let them feel wrong, and keep doing what's right.
Chapter 3. Sit with tension instead of escaping it fast. Most people run from discomfort the moment it shows up. The second something feels off, they reach for something to escape it. Some reach for their phones. Some start talking just to avoid the silence. Some distract themselves with food, noise, or mindless habits. But very few people learn how to just sit with it. To sit with that tight feeling in the chest, the restlessness in the body, the urge to move, to react, to avoid. The truth is, if you want to grow stronger emotionally, you have to stop escaping discomfort and start learning from it. Tension is not the enemy. It's not something to get rid of. It's something to sit with, to understand. It's your body's way of signaling that something inside you needs attention, not avoidance, not escape, attention. And if you always run from that signal, you'll never deal with the real issue. You'll just stay on the surface. You'll just patch things up. But that tension will come back again and again, until you finally stop and feel it. When you sit with tension, you're not giving in to it. You're observing it. You're letting yourself feel without the pressure to fix it instantly. You're learning to stay calm in the middle of it. And that's where real growth begins. It's in those uncomfortable moments where most people check out. That's exactly where you need to check in. Discomfort teaches you more than comfort ever will. It shows you what you avoid. It reveals where your patience ends. It highlights your pattern. And if you're willing to stay present with it, even for just a few minutes, it will tell you the truth about yourself. You won't like everything you see. You'll notice how quickly your mind jumps to distractions, how fast you try to fix things, how you try to escape what's hard to feel. But that awareness is powerful, because once you notice it, you can change it. You can train your mind to stay put. You can train your body to breathe through it. You can train yourself to not react the way you used to. You're not weak for feeling tension. You're human. Every single person on this planet feels it. The difference is how they deal with it. Some people avoid it, and they stay stuck. Others face it, and they grow. You get to choose which one you become. When something uncomfortable happens, a difficult conversation, a moment of silence, a thought you don't want to think, pause. Don't reach for anything. Don't rush to change the feeling. Just sit. Notice your breath. Notice where the tension sits in your body. Is it in your stomach, your shoulders, your jaw? Just notice it. Don't try to change it. Don't judge it. Just feel it. This is the space where you build real emotional strength. Because if you can sit with what makes you uncomfortable and not run, not react, not shut down, you're learning how to take your power back. You're learning how to respond with intention instead of escaping with habit. Most of the trouble in people's lives doesn't come from what they feel. It comes from what they do to avoid what they feel. They say things they don't mean. They make decisions they later regret. They act out of panic, stress, or fear. Not because they're bad people, but because they never learned how to sit still in a hard moment. If you train yourself to sit with tension, you'll notice something strange happens. It doesn't stay as long as you think. It's the resistance to it that makes it feel worse. But when you allow it to be there, it often softens. Your mind becomes clearer. Your thoughts slow down. Your heart rate settles. And in that stillness, you begin to see things more accurately. You don't have to solve everything in the same moment you feel it. Sometimes your job is just to feel it and let it pass through. You're not broken because you feel overwhelmed. You're not doing life wrong because you feel pressure. The goal isn't to avoid tension forever. The goal is to not be controlled by it. There's a deep kind of peace that comes when you stop reacting to every uncomfortable feeling. When you don't need to fix it immediately. When you don't need to hide from it. When you can just sit, breathe, and observe. That's the kind of peace that can't be shaken easily. You learn that you're bigger than your emotions. That you're not your stress. That you're not your fears. That tension is just energy. Energy you can hold. Energy you can move through. Energy you don't have to let ruin your day or damage your relationships. This skill changes everything. It changes how you deal with problems. It changes how you handle conversations. It changes the way you experience pain, frustration, confusion, and sadness. Instead of avoiding, you begin to face. Instead of reacting, you begin to listen. Instead of running, you begin to grow. You become the kind of person who doesn't panic under pressure. The kind of person who doesn't lash out when they're uncomfortable. The kind of person who knows how to sit in the middle of discomfort without letting it define them. That's a powerful way to live. Most people live in cycles. They feel tension. They run from it. They feel temporary relief, and then the tension comes back stronger, and each time it comes back, they feel more stuck. But the cycle breaks the moment you sit with the feeling, instead of escaping it. That's where healing begins. That's where strength starts. You have to practice this. It won't feel natural at first. It might feel scary. It might feel awkward, but start with a few seconds. When a tough moment hits, don't avoid it. Just sit. Breathe. Watch what happens inside you. You'll be surprised at how much you learn. You'll see that your thoughts aren't always true. That your body can handle more than you think. That emotions pass. If you give them space, you'll stop overthinking. Because you're no longer avoiding. You're facing. And facing is what builds real confidence. You'll stop needing everything to feel perfect. You'll stop needing instant relief. You'll stop fearing hard emotions because you've trained yourself to sit through them, to understand them, to let them move without reacting out of panic. And the more you practice this, the more grounded you'll become. You'll be the person in the room who stays calm, who thinks clearly, who speaks with intention, who listens before reacting. That kind of presence is rare and powerful and respected. You won't need to explain your calm. People will feel it. You won't need to talk about your strength. People will see. You'll stop being a slave to the tension and start being a guide for yourself and others. And when things go wrong, because they still will, you'll meet those moments with a clear mind and a steady heart. You'll stop feeling like life is something you need to escape from. You'll start trusting yourself to handle what comes up. Because you know now, tension isn't the enemy. It's the teacher. It shows up to reveal, not to destroy. It shows up to guide, not to harm. And once you learn to sit with it, you'll see that what you used to fear was never as strong as the version of you that chooses to face it. Chapter 4. Respect your silence more than being understood instantly. There are going to be times in your life when your silence is the only thing protecting your peace. Times when someone says something that touches a nerve. Times when people misunderstand your actions. Times when you feel the pressure to speak up just to make someone see your side. But one of the most powerful skills you can develop is learning to value your silence more than the need to be understood right away. Not every moment needs a response. Not every situation requires your voice, and not every misunderstanding deserves your emotional energy. You don't have to rush to fix people's opinions of you. You don't need to jump in and explain your every move. You don't owe anyone instant access to your thoughts just because they demand it. Silence gives you something no conversation ever can. Space. And space is where clarity lives. It's where you slow down long enough to see things for what they really are. And in that space, you get your power back. Most people talk because they're uncomfortable with being misunderstood. They think if they don't explain themselves right away, they'll lose control of the situation. But the truth is, chasing understanding too fast often makes things worse. It leads to over-explaining. It leads to saying things you didn't really mean. It leads to reacting from emotion rather than thinking things through. That's not control. That's fear, wearing the mask of urgency. When you learn to sit in your silence, you stop giving away your emotional energy so easily. You stop feeling the need to be right in the moment. You stop needing to control what others think. And you begin to respect your inner world more than the outside noise. That's a powerful shift. That's where you stop being reactive and start being intentional. It doesn't mean you stay silent forever. It doesn't mean you suppress what matters. It means you pause long enough to make sure what you say adds value, not more confusion. It means you speak when you're clear, not just when you're triggered. It means you protect your voice by not wasting it on situations that don't deserve it. There's wisdom in silence. There's strength in not reacting. There's discipline in holding back when every part of you wants to jump in. But that's where your growth lives. In that tiny space between what you feel and what you say. Most people skip that space. But when you learn to live in it, you become harder to shake. You don't get pulled into every argument. You don't rush to defend yourself. You don't say things just to be heard. You speak from a grounded place. And that makes every word you say carry more weight. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can say is nothing. Not because you don't care, not because you're weak, but because you know not every situation needs your voice. You've seen what happens when you talk too fast. You've seen what happens when you explain too much. And you've learned that silence doesn't mean losing. It means leading yourself first. The need to be understood is natural. Everyone wants to be seen for who they really are. But needing that too quickly can make you chase people's validation. And chasing validation always leads to frustration. Because no matter how well you explain yourself, some people won't get it. Some people aren't listening to understand, they're listening to respond. Or worse, they're listening to judge. So you give them your truth, and they twist it. You open up, and they ignore it. You try to clarify, and they argue harder. And in the end you feel drained. That's why you need to ask yourself before speaking. Is this the right time? Is this the right person? Is this the right energy? And if not, honor your silence. Don't fill the space just to feel better for a moment. Sometimes the greatest respect you can show yourself is walking away from the need to be understood. When you respect your silence, you respect your boundaries, you protect your peace. You show yourself that you don't have to prove your worth every time someone misunderstands you. You start living in alignment with who you are, not who people think you should be. This doesn't mean you avoid hard conversations. It means you enter them with control, not desperation. It means you choose your words, not let your emotions choose them for you. It means you understand that clarity takes time. And sometimes silence is the first step to that clarity. You also learn how to sit with the discomfort of not being understood. That's a big one. It's not easy. It feels heavy. It feels unfair. But it builds something important in you. It teaches you to trust your own understanding of yourself. Because if you always need someone else to see your value before you can feel stable, you'll never have peace. You'll always be performing. But when you hold your silence in a moment of misunderstanding and stay grounded, you show yourself that your worth isn't up for debate. Not everyone will understand your silence. Some will take it as distance. Some will think you're ignoring them. But that's not your responsibility. Your job is not to make everyone comfortable. Your job is to stay true to your emotional needs. And if silence is what keeps you clear, then that's what you honor. There are people who will push you to speak before you're ready. They'll say you're avoiding. They'll say you're being passive, but they don't understand what it takes to hold back when your heart wants to scream. They don't see the strength it takes to pause, to reflect, to not let your emotions lead the moment. That's not passiveness, that's restraint, that's wisdom. That's leadership, starting with yourself. The more you respect your silence, the more you'll see how much noise in your life was unnecessary. You'll look back and see how many situations didn't need your voice, they needed your distance. How many arguments didn't need your defense, they needed your silence. How many moments didn't need your reaction, they needed your calm. And you'll start noticing the difference in your energy. You'll feel lighter. You'll feel more in control. You'll feel proud of how you handled what once would have thrown you off. That's not just emotional strength. That's emotional maturity. And that kind of maturity transforms your relationships, your decisions, and your future. You don't have to explain yourself to everyone. You don't need to be understood instantly to be okay. You can be misunderstood and still stay grounded. You can be judged and still stay peaceful. You can be questioned and still stay clear. The power is in your pause. The strength is in your silence. The maturity is in your timing. And the freedom is in not needing instant understanding from anyone. Because the moment you stop trying to control how others see you, you gain full control over how you carry yourself. So give yourself permission to stay quiet when you're not ready. Give yourself room to think, to feel, to come back to center. Let others have their opinions. You're not responsible for them. You're responsible for protecting your energy and speaking from clarity. not urgency. The world doesn't need more noise. It needs more people who know when to be still, who speak when it's useful, who pause when it's wise, and who live from a place of strength, not reaction. You become that person by choosing silence, not as a retreat, but as a strategy. Not because you're avoiding life, but because you're leading your life with purpose. Not every truth needs to be shouted. Not every misunderstanding needs your voice. Sometimes your greatest power is in the words you choose not to say. And when you can respect that silence more than needing to be understood instantly, you become the kind of person who leads themselves in every room they walk into.
Chapter 5. Notice the moment your pride wants to speak. There's a moment so small most people miss it, when something inside you rises up and pushes you to say something just to protect your image. Not because it's helpful, not because it brings peace, but because your pride wants to be heard. That moment often shows up when you feel judged, when you feel disrespected, when someone speaks in a way that challenges your worth or questions your decisions. And right there in that exact second, pride steps forward and wants to speak on your behalf. But here's the thing, pride doesn't speak to solve anything. It speaks to defend. It speaks to make you feel better in the moment, not to make things better in the long run. It speaks to hold on to power, even if it costs you peace. And if you don't learn how to catch that moment, you'll keep falling into the same trap, reacting in ways that feel good for a second and bring regret for days. Pride has a voice, and it's loud. It wants to interrupt, it wants to prove, it wants to make sure you don't look weak, don't look small, don't look wrong. And when pride speaks, it doesn't care about the relationship. It doesn't care about understanding. It doesn't care about truth. It only cares about image. That's why so many arguments go nowhere, because pride is doing the talking. And when pride is leading the conversation, nobody's really listening. You've got to train yourself to notice when your pride is about to take over. It doesn't shout. It starts as a whisper, a fast thought, a rush of emotion, a tightening in your chest, a quick feeling that you need to say something right now so you don't look bad. That's the moment you've got to slow down. That's where your power is, not in speaking, but in recognizing. When you feel that urge rising up, pause and ask yourself, why do I need to say this? Is it because it's true and helpful? Or is it just my pride trying to win? If it's pride, you've got a choice. You can let it speak and feed the conflict. Or you can step back, hold your ground in silence, and let the moment pass without losing your peace. It takes emotional strength to sit with your pride and not obey it. It takes clarity to see that just because you feel the need to respond doesn't mean the response is necessary. And most of all, it takes maturity to value your long-term peace over your short-term ego. Pride always wants the last word. It wants to be right. But being right doesn't always make things better. It doesn't always make you stronger. In fact, it often leaves you more frustrated, more drained, more disconnected. Because in the process of trying to win the moment, you lose the bigger picture. You'll be tested in moments when people speak carelessly, when they criticize your effort, when they underestimate you, when they tell the story wrong, and pride will be the first voice to rise. But that doesn't mean it's the one you have to listen to. Notice how pride turns small things into big fights, how it makes you say things you didn't plan to say, how it keeps you stuck in cycles of conflict and regret. And the more aware you become of it, the more power you gain over your responses. There's strength in silence. There's power in pausing. There's wisdom in letting your pride speak only inside your mind, but not out loud. You can hear it without giving it the microphone. You can acknowledge it without letting it lead the way. Because real confidence doesn't need to shout. It doesn't need to prove anything. It knows when to speak
and when to stay quiet. It knows when to defend and when to let things go. It knows that not every comment deserves a response, and not every opinion needs to be corrected. And that's where your peace starts to grow, in the space between feeling triggered and choosing not to act on it, in the gap between being misunderstood and not needing to fix it, in the strength it takes to keep your mouth shut when your pride wants to open it. Think about how many situations have gone wrong because of one sentence that didn't need to be said, one reaction that came too fast, one response driven by pride, not truth. Those moments add up, and they take more from you than they give. But now you know what to look for. Now you know how to catch it. You're not a slave to your pride. You don't have to say everything you think. You don't need to defend every detail of your life. You can stand in silence and still stand strong. It doesn't mean you let people walk all over you. It means you pick your battles wisely. You speak with purpose, not pressure. You express what matters, not what's just meant to protect your ego. That's how you stay in control of your mind, your emotions, and your future. You'll feel tempted to respond quickly. You'll feel a rush in your body. Your heart might speed up. Your thoughts might race. But that's your cue. That's your signal. Pride is stepping forward, and you now have the awareness to step back. Let others talk. Let others misunderstand. Let others think what they want. That's their journey. Yours is to grow, to lead yourself, to build a life that doesn't depend on other people's opinions. And that kind of life requires you to be in control of your inner world. The moment you notice pride rising, take a breath. Remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself that strength isn't loud, that real power isn't about being right. It's about staying calm. It's about making decisions that align with who you want to be, not just how you feel in the moment. This is a daily practice. It won't be easy. There will be days when you slip, days when your pride gets the better of you. That's okay. What matters is that you're watching now. You're becoming more aware, and awareness is the beginning of change. Every time you catch your pride before it speaks, you grow. Every time you choose peace over proving yourself, you win. Every time you decide to hold your silence instead of feeding the tension, you become more of the person you were meant to be. Pride might always be there, but now you don't have to follow it. You've got something stronger. Your awareness, your discipline, your clarity. Use it, trust it, and let it guide you to a more grounded, more powerful way of living. Chapter 6. Build space between feelings and the next move. There's a moment that decides everything. A small space between what you feel and what you do next. Most people never notice it. They go straight from emotion to reaction, from frustration to shouting, from fear to withdrawal, from anger to action. But if you want to take control of your life, if you want to stop being ruled by what happens around you, you have to learn how to build space between what you feel and what you do. Feelings are fast. They rise in seconds. They show up without warning. And they're powerful. But feelings don't last forever. They move. They shift. And if you don't pause before you act on them, you'll end up creating consequences from temporary emotions. And those consequences can follow you far longer than the feeling itself. Building space means not reacting right away. It means creating a small pause, even just a few seconds. Enough time to breathe. Enough time to think. Enough time to choose how you want to respond instead of being pulled into the heat of the moment. That space is where your discipline lives. That space is where your growth begins. You don't have to act just because you feel something. That's what children do. They cry when they're uncomfortable. They shout when they're angry. They hit when they don't get their way. But you're not a child anymore. You have the ability to think, to reflect, to decide what kind of person you want to be, even when you're triggered. Most problems don't come from what people feel. They come from the actions that follow those feelings. It's the angry text, the defensive tone, the emotional decision made too fast, the words spoken that can't be taken back. That's why the space between feelings and action is so important. That space can save relationships. That space can protect your peace. That space can keep your future from being shaped by a moment of emotional chaos. You won't always get it right. Sometimes your emotions will get the better of you. You'll say something before thinking. You'll respond out of hurt. That's human. But the goal is not perfection. The goal is awareness. And awareness creates the opportunity to slow down, to observe what's happening inside you, and to ask yourself if what you're about to do is truly aligned with your values, not just your emotion. Emotions aren't bad, they're information, they're signals, they show you what matters to you, they highlight what's been touched in you. But you don't have to obey every signal, you don't have to act on every emotion. You can feel something deeply and still not respond immediately. That's real strength. That's real emotional intelligence. When you feel triggered, don't rush, step back internally. Notice what's going on in your body. Is your chest tight? Is your mind racing? That's your cue. That's your moment to create space, to pause, to breathe, to ask yourself what's really going on underneath the surface. Maybe it's not just anger. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's not just frustration. Maybe it's exhaustion. Maybe it's not even about what just happened. Maybe it's about something that happened years ago that still hasn't healed. Without space, you'll never know. Without space, you'll keep reacting to the surface and never reaching the root. Space gives you the chance to choose your next move with clarity, not with emotion alone, but with perspective. And clarity always leads to better decisions. Even if the feeling is intense, even if you feel like you need to say something right now, space reminds you that most things aren't as urgent as they feel in the moment. When you create space between your emotions and your actions, you're not suppressing your feeling. You're giving yourself a chance to understand them. You're allowing yourself to respond from a place of stability instead of chaos. And every time you do that, you build a new pattern, a new habit, a new level of emotional maturity. Imagine how different your day would be if you created that space during conflict. Imagine how many arguments would end before they started. Imagine how much regret you'd avoid. Imagine how many things you wouldn't have to apologize for. That's what this habit creates, a more peaceful, intentional life. You have to train yourself to slow down emotionally. That doesn't mean you avoid what you feel. It means you face it with patience. You breathe through it. You ask questions instead of jumping to conclusions. You give yourself the gift of not reacting on impulse. People will challenge you. Life will throw things at you. And your emotions will respond. That's normal. But your actions are still your choice. That's where your freedom. You don't have to act out every time something pushes your buttons. You can learn to pause, to sit, to breathe, and then to decide. This practice doesn't just help you stay calm, it helps you understand yourself. You begin to see your emotional triggers more clearly. You notice the pattern. You learn what situations affect you the most. And from that awareness, you start to grow. You don't just manage emotions, you master them. You don't just avoid conflict, you learn how to navigate it with wisdom. And the more you practice this, the stronger you get. You'll notice you don't get pulled into every little disagreement. You'll feel more stable even when life feels messy. You'll become the person who others trust in tense situations, because they know you won't react with drama. You'll be known for your steadiness, and steadiness is a rare and valuable strength. This is what leadership looks like. Not control over others, but control over yourself, leading your emotions, leading your reactions, leading your choices. And it all starts in that small space between feeling and action. You don't need to explain yourself to every opinion. You don't need to correct every misunderstanding. You don't need to say something every time you feel hurt. Sometimes the strongest thing you can do is pause, observe, and keep your power. Think of that space as your shield. It protects your peace. It filters your reactions. It keeps your emotions from leading your life. And the more you practice it, the more it becomes your way of being. You start responding from wisdom instead of wounds, from clarity instead of confusion, from strength instead of fear. And here's something to remember. The world doesn't slow down for you. It keeps moving. People keep talking. Life keeps throwing situations your way. So it's on you to slow yourself down inside, to build that space in the middle of all the noise, to find your center and stay there. When you feel overwhelmed, stop. When you feel disrespected, pause. When you feel misunderstood, breathe. Let the emotion rise. Let it be felt. But don't let it push you into a reaction you'll regret. Let it move through you. Let it teach you. Let it remind you that you're in control of what happens next. That's where your transformation begins. In that quiet space where nothing has happened yet, but everything can change. Where you get to decide if you're going to repeat the same old reaction or build something better. Where you choose your future instead of letting the past decide it for you. You're not here to be perfect. You're here to be aware, to build space, to lead yourself forward. And the more you build that space, the more you'll trust yourself. You'll know that no matter what happens, you won't be shaken easily, because you've created room to think, to choose, to lead. And in that space, you'll find freedom. The freedom to act on your values, not your emotions. The freedom to walk away when needed. The freedom to stay calm when others are losing their minds. That freedom comes from practice, from daily effort, from choosing space, again and again. And that choice made quietly, consistently, patiently, will change your life. Chapter 7. Stop chasing control over how others treat you. One of the most exhausting things you can do in life is try to control how other people treat you. It sounds reasonable at first. We all want respect, fairness, kindness. We want to be appreciated and treated well. But here's the truth that most people don't like to hear. You cannot force anyone to act right, speak right, or feel the way you want them to. People will treat you based on their level of awareness, not your level of effort. And the more you chase control over someone else's behavior, the more you lose control over your own peace. You can communicate clearly, you can set healthy boundaries, you can show up with integrity. But none of that guarantees people will match your energy. None of that guarantees kindness. Some people will still misunderstand you. Some will disrespect you. Some will ignore your worth even when you've done everything right. That's not your failure. That's their limitation. You have to stop tying your emotional state to someone else's behavior. If your peace depends on how someone else talks to you, treats you, includes you, supports you, then you've handed over your power. And once you do that, your day can be ruined by a single message, a single glance, a single tone of voice. You become reactive. You become anxious. You become drained, not because of who you are, but because of who you're trying to fix. Trying to control how others treat you is like trying to control the weather. You can prepare for it. You can respond wisely. But you can't make the sun shine just because you want it to. The same is true with people. You can't force someone to value what they don't understand. You can't make someone show up for you the way you show up for them. And the more you try to control it, the more pain you invite into your life. Let people reveal who they are. Give them the freedom to show their patterns. If they're inconsistent, believe it. If they're disrespectful, see it for what it is. Stop twisting yourself into someone else's expectations just to earn the treatment you think you deserve. You don't have to earn basic respect. And if someone makes you feel like you do, that's a red flag, not a challenge to win them over. A big part of emotional maturity is understanding that how people treat you has more to do with them than it does with you. People project their fears. They act from their insecurities. They speak through their past. And if you take it all personally, you will spend your whole life adjusting yourself for people who don't even understand themselves. Stop chasing their approval. Stop trying to fix their attitude. Stop bending your values just to keep someone comfortable. If you need to constantly remind someone how to treat you, they're not your people. Respect is not something you should have to beg for. It's something that should be given freely, not earned through emotional labor. Now, this doesn't mean you become passive or accept mistreatment. It means you shift your energy. You stop focusing on changing them and start focusing on choosing you. You walk away from what drains you. You step back from what confuses you. You let silence speak where words no longer work. That's not giving up. That's self-respect in action. When you stop trying to control how people treat you, you free up your energy to control how you respond. You build a stronger inner world. You start listening to your own needs more than someone else's demands. And most of all, you stop trying to change people who don't want to change themselves. You'll find peace, not by fixing everyone, but by deciding who you allow into your space. You get to choose the standard. You get to choose how close people stand to your heart, and the way they treat you gives you all the information you need. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to teach them. You just have to believe them the first time they show you who they are. Let go of the need to manage other people's behavior. Let go of the need to be liked by everyone. Let go of the pressure to be the one who always understands, always forgives, always adjusts. Your job isn't to make people treat you better. Your job is to treat yourself with so much respect that anything less becomes obvious and unacceptable. And the beautiful thing is, when you stop chasing control, you start creating it, not over others, but over yourself. You begin to live in a way that doesn't depend on external validation. You stop explaining yourself to people who don't care to listen. You stop trying to fix people who don't want help. You start protecting your energy. You start guarding your people who want to mistreat you will find a way to justify it no matter how good you are. You could do everything right and still be blamed. You could be generous and still be taken for granted. You could be kind and still be used. So stop thinking that more effort leads to more love. It doesn't. It only leads to more exhaustion when it's one-sided. You don't have to change yourself for people to treat you better. You have to change the people you allow to stay close. You have to stop tolerating what makes you shrink. You have to stop hoping that one day they'll wake up and see your worth. If they don't see it now, it's not your job to paint it for them. Start investing in people who already treat you with care. Pay attention to the ones who don't make you question your value. Spend more time around those who don't make you feel like a burden for having feelings. Real connection doesn't need constant reminders of how to be kind. You get stronger when you stop trying to fix how others show up and start getting honest about what that says. You stop trying to explain why you deserve better and start walking in a way that makes it clear. You stop holding on to broken connections just because you once felt seen. You start choosing yourself in rooms that make you feel invisible, and don't confuse boundaries with bitterness. This isn't about cutting people off in anger. It's about understanding what your peace is worth. It's about recognizing when someone's behavior is no longer healthy for your growth. It's about trusting yourself to make decisions that protect your heart, even when it's hard. This is how you reclaim your power. Not by yelling, not by arguing, not by constantly correcting others, but by stepping into environments where your presence is respected, without needing to fight for it, by building a life where you don't have to chase love, because it's already around you in the people who show up without being asked. There will always be someone who doubts you, someone who judges you, someone who doesn't treat you the way you deserve. That doesn't mean you're not enough. It means they're not ready. Don't lower your standard to fit their comfort level. Don't shrink yourself just to stay close. The right people won't need you to prove anything. You are not here to manage the emotions of others. You are not here to earn the bare minimum. You are here to live a life that reflects your values, your strength, your worth. And anyone who cannot meet that energy, you bless them and move on. Stop giving people unlimited access to your emotional state. Protect it, guide it, stand by it. Because the moment you stop trying to control how others treat you, you start leading yourself. And that's where real peace begins. Not in changing the world around you, but in changing what you allow to influence your inner world. And when you do that, you'll finally realize that the freedom you were chasing from other people's behavior was always yours to create. Chapter 8. Choose not to explain yourself when it's pointless. One of the most liberating decisions you will ever make in life is choosing not to explain yourself when you know it won't change anything. Not because you're avoiding accountability, not because you're hiding something, but because you've finally realized that your peace matters more than forcing people to understand what they're not open to seeing. You reach a point where you understand that your energy is limited, and every time you explain yourself to someone who already made up their mind, you give away a part of that energy you will never get back. There are people who ask questions not because they care, but because they want more reasons to doubt you. There are people who listen only to pick apart your words, not to understand your intentions. And there are people who, no matter how carefully you explain, will still hold on to their version of the story. When you recognize that, you stop chasing clarity from those who live in confusion by choice. Some conversations are worth having. Some aren't. Wisdom is knowing the difference. You don't owe everyone an explanation, especially when the goal isn't resolution but control. Especially when it's not about learning, it's about winning. Some people ask why not because they want insight, but because they're ready to argue with whatever you say. And when you feel that coming, it's not weak to say nothing. It's why, when you stop explaining yourself to people who are not really listening, you reclaim a part of yourself. You no longer feel the pressure to prove, to convince, to defend your every move. You breathe deeper. You feel stronger. You begin to live for truth, not approval. Because explaining yourself only works when the person on the other side is actually open, open to hearing, open to caring, open to letting go of their assumptions. There's a kind of exhaustion that comes from over-explaining. It leaves you drained, it leaves you second-guessing yourself, it keeps you stuck in cycles of trying to manage someone else's thoughts. But that's not your job. You're not responsible for fixing someone's opinion, you're responsible for living with integrity and letting that speak for itself. If someone misunderstands you and you've done your part to be clear, then you've done enough. Beyond that, it's out of your hands. And it's a waste of your time to keep revisiting a situation just to feel seen by someone who doesn't want to see you clearly. When you hold back from explaining, at first it feels uncomfortable. You feel the urge to defend. You want to make things right. But over time, that discomfort turns into clarity. You realize that your silence is not weakness, it's a boundary. It's you saying, I'm not going to spend my life trying to be understood by people who don't value understanding. You begin to say less and live more. You begin to walk away from conversations that go in circles. You begin to trust that your actions will show more than your words ever could. And you learn to be okay with being misunderstood, not because you don't care, but because you finally care more about your emotional health than about someone else's opinion. Sometimes explaining yourself is the fastest way to lose your inner peace, because it forces you into conversations where you're not safe, where your words are twisted, where your words are twisted, where your intentions are questioned. And instead of walking away feeling lighter, you walk away feeling smaller. Not everyone has earned access to your thoughts. Not everyone deserves to hear your why. Your peace doesn't need to be defended. It needs to be protected. And when you start choosing to protect it, everything changes. You become calmer. You start listening more. You stop reacting to every accusation. You stop giving emotional access to people who only want to use your openness against you. You also start paying attention to your patterns. You start asking yourself, why do I feel the need to explain this? Is it coming from clarity? Or is it coming from insecurity? Is this explanation helpful? Or is it just me trying to be liked? These questions keep you honest. They help you see when you're explaining from strength and when you're explaining from fear. You will feel the pull to explain yourself in moments of pressure. When someone questions your decision, when someone misreads your silence, when someone labels you without knowing your story, that pull will be strong. But just because you feel it doesn't mean you have to follow it. You can sit with it. You can breathe through it. You can let it pass. And what you'll notice is that the people who really care, the ones who matter, they don't need long explanations. They already understand your heart. They already know your character. And when they don't, they ask with humility, not judgment. They give you space. They listen. They don't demand instant clarity. And those are the people who are worth your effort. But the ones who question your motives, ignore your history, and press you for answers just to feel right. You don't need to explain yourself to them. That's not growth. That's a trap. And every time you fall into it, you shrink a little. You lose a little of your clarity. But when you step back, when you say less, when you hold your ground in silence, that's when you rise. You learn that silence doesn't always mean avoiding. Sometimes it means protecting. Sometimes it means choosing not to argue with someone's version of you. Sometimes it means respecting yourself enough to not waste another minute justifying what you know is true in your heart. You are not here to meet everyone's expectations. You're here to live in alignment with your values, to move with purpose, to make decisions that support your peace. And if someone can't understand that, no explanation will ever be enough. Stop explaining why you need space. Stop explaining why you've changed. Stop explaining why you chose your path. If it matters, your life will show it. If they care, they will understand it. And if they don't, your silence is still the right choice. You gain confidence every time you resist the need to explain what doesn't need explaining. You become lighter when you drop the pressure to make everyone agree with your decision. You start walking in freedom when you realize that not every misunderstanding needs your time. There's a deep kind of power in being okay with people not getting you. It means you're free. It means your identity isn't built on outside approval. It means you're standing on a foundation that no one can shake with a question or a doubt. Live in such a way that you don't need to explain your every move. Be so rooted in your intention that silence feels stronger than explanation. Trust that your truth will speak, even if your words don't. And when it's pointless to explain, don't. Because the peace you'll feel from protecting your energy will always be more valuable than the temporary comfort of being understood by someone who never truly listened in the first place.
Chapter 9. Hold your energy when the world pulls it out. There will be days when everything around you feels loud. People asking for things, deadlines pressing down, messages piling up, conflicts rising, unexpected problems showing up when you least have the energy to deal with them. And in the middle of all of that, there's one thing the world keeps doing, pulling your energy in every direction. Everyone wants something. Everything feels urgent. And if you're not careful, you'll give yourself away piece by piece until there's nothing left for you. You have to learn how to hold your energy when the world pulls it out of you. Not because you're selfish, not because you don't care,
but because you know how easily you can lose your peace if you don't protect it. This is about learning to stay steady in a world that's always moving fast. It's about not letting every demand, every distraction, and every emotion pull you away from your center. You don't owe your full emotional attention to everything that happens around you. Not every situation deserves your full reaction. Not every conversation needs your complete emotional investment. You get to choose where your energy goes. And that choice, when made consistently, will shape the quality of your life. There's a difference between being present and being pulled. Being present means you're here, but grounded. Being pulled means your mind, your emotions, and your focus are constantly being scattered by external forces. One text can ruin your whole day. One comment can shift your whole mood. One look from someone else, and suddenly you feel off balance. But here's what you must understand. Your energy is your responsibility. You can't give the world permission to decide how much of yourself you hand out. You have to be aware of your own limit. You have to know when you're stretching too far, and more importantly, you have to know when to pull back. People will keep asking. Life will keep demanding. The world won't stop knocking. But you have to know when to answer, and when to let the moment pass. You can't pour yourself into every fire. You can't chase peace by pleasing everyone, because if you try to meet every need, respond to every emotion, fix every problem, you will break down, not all at once, but slowly, daily, until exhaustion becomes your normal. Holding your energy is not about being distant, it's about being wise. It's about knowing that when your mind is tired, your decisions get weaker. When your heart is drained, your patience gets shorter. When your energy is scattered, your focus disappears. And when you live like that for too long, you forget who you are. So slow down, pay attention to what drains you. Notice who leaves you feeling heavy after every conversation. Notice what situations cause your thoughts to spiral. Then ask yourself, do I need to give this my full energy? Or do I need to protect myself right now? You're not being rude by creating space, you're being responsible. Because the version of you that shows up tired, reactive, or overwhelmed isn't helping anyone. When you hold your energy, you become more clear. You make better choices, you stay calm in difficult moments. You're able to give from a place of strength, not obligation. The world often teaches you that giving everything is a sign of love, but that's not love, that's burnout, that's emotional exhaustion, dressed up as kindness. Real love starts with self-respect, and self-respect says, I can care deeply about others, without losing myself in the process. You also have to stop giving emotional access to people who don't know what to do with it. Just because someone pulls at your attention doesn't mean they deserve your energy. You are not a solution to every problem. You are not a reaction to every emotion. You are allowed to be still when the world is loud. You are allowed to say no without guilt. You are allowed to choose peace over urgency. And don't mistake holding your energy for being disconnected. You're not pulling away, you're pulling inward. You're learning how to refill before you give. You're choosing strength over reaction. You're creating space inside yourself to breathe, think, feel, and choose instead of being driven by everything that happens around you. It's also important to recognize the patterns. Are you constantly feeling drained after certain conversations? Are you always tense after scrolling through your phone? Do you find yourself snapping at people because your mind is overwhelmed? These are signs. These are your body's way of telling you that you've let too much in, that you've opened the door to too many voices, that you need to pull back and recenter. Holding your energy means having the discipline to pause, to ask yourself before jumping in, is this mine to carry? Is this my problem to solve? Is this the best use of my time and strength right now? And if the answer is no, you honor that, not with guilt, not with apology, but with confidence that you're doing what's best for your long-term well-being. This isn't about building walls, it's about building boundaries, and those boundaries don't push people away, they keep you whole. They remind you that you matter too, that your needs are valid, that your rest is necessary, that your presence is more powerful when it's not stretched too thin. The world will always be full of noise, but you don't have to match its volume, you don't have to be available every second, you don't have to carry things that were never meant for you. Let go of the guilt, let go of the pressure. Choose to protect your peace even when others don't understand it, because at the end of the day, no one else will feel the weight you carry. No one else will feel the emotional cost of always giving. Only you will wake up tired in your soul. Only you will feel scattered in your mind. So do the responsible thing. Step back when you need to. Stay quiet when it helps. And hold your energy like it's your most valuable currency. Because it is. You'll start to notice the difference. You'll notice how much clearer your thoughts become, how much more stable your emotions feel, how much more present you are with people who actually matter. And most of all, you'll start to recognize yourself again, not the version that's always running around trying to keep up, but the version that's calm, clear, strong and centered. That version of you exists, but it can only come forward when you stop giving your energy to everything and start choosing what truly deserves it. The world will still spin. Problems will still arise. People will still have expectations. But you will no longer be pulled in 100 directions by all of it, because you've made a decision to hold your energy, not out of fear, but out of wisdom, not out of withdrawal, but out of strength, not because you don't care, but because you finally care enough about yourself to stop pouring from an empty cup.
Chapter 10. Decide to lead yourself before emotions lead you. Every day you wake up, one question is already waiting for you. Who's going to lead your life today? You or your emotions? That choice might seem small, but it's the difference between building a life that's grounded in direction and discipline, or one that's constantly reacting to whatever feeling shows up. Emotions are part of being human. You will feel anger, sadness, excitement, fear, doubt, frustration, hope. Sometimes all in one day. But those emotions are not built to lead you. They are meant to be noticed, understood, and managed. You were never meant to follow every emotional wave. You were meant to lead yourself through them. Deciding to lead yourself means you take full responsibility for your reactions. You stop blaming your mood, your circumstances, or other people for how you show up. You realize that feelings are real, but they are not permanent. They pass, they change, and they often lie. If you let your emotions make your decisions, you'll keep changing direction every time something gets hard or doesn't feel good in the moment. You'll quit things you actually want. You'll damage relationships you care about. You'll say things that don't match who you are, not because you're a bad person, but because you didn't pause long enough to lead yourself first. The world is full of people who never learned how to lead themselves. They let frustration guide their words. They let fear decide their choices. They let insecurity shape their actions, and then they look around wondering why their life feels out of control. But the truth is, it's not the world, it's what they're allowing inside. They've handed the steering wheel to whatever feeling happens to be strongest that day. And the longer you live like that, the more out of alignment your life becomes. Leading yourself means you don't wait until everything feels perfect to act. You do what needs to be done even when you don't feel like it. You stay calm even when your mind wants to panic. You keep your standards high even when your emotions try to drag them low. That's not cold. That's not robotic. That's maturity. That's strength. That's leadership.
and it starts from the inside out. You don't control what you feel, that part is natural, but you always control what you do with what you feel, and when you stop giving your emotions the final say, you begin to trust yourself more. You start walking through hard moments with more clarity. You stop avoiding discomfort and start facing it with purpose. You stop being driven by moods and start being driven by values. Most people wait for motivation. They wait to feel good before taking action. But real growth doesn't happen in those moments. It happens when you move forward despite how you feel. When you wake up tired, but still show up. When you feel offended but still choose to respond calmly. When you feel overwhelmed but still take one step forward. That's what it means to lead yourself. Your emotions will always offer you shortcuts. React now. Say what you want without thinking. Quit because it's uncomfortable. Blame others. Avoid the hard thing. But leadership says, pause, breathe, think, choose. Ask yourself what kind of person you want to be. And act like that. Not based on your current emotion, but based on your long-term vision. You don't build a strong life by obeying every emotional impulse. You build it by staying steady when everything inside you wants to escape. You build it by doing the right thing when the easy thing feels better. And every time you choose to lead yourself in those moments, you become a little more confident, a little more stable, a little more aligned with who you really are. Emotions are temporary, but their consequences can be permanent. One decision made in anger, one conversation spoken in frustration, one opportunity missed because of fear. All of these moments add up. But when you lead yourself, you start to slow things down. You start asking better questions. What matters most right now? What's the outcome I actually want? Is this emotion helping or hurting me? And based on those answers, you make a decision that reflects your strength, not your stress. People will say things that trigger you. Life will challenge you. Your plans won't always go smoothly. But if your inner world is led by discipline instead of emotion, you stay clear. You stop being shaken by everything around you. You stop falling for the same emotional traps, and you start building something that actually lasts. It doesn't mean you stop feeling. It means you feel deeply and still act wise. It means you give yourself space to process without letting your emotions push you into reactions you'll regret. It means you respect your feelings, but you don't let them run your life. When you start leading yourself, you stop being so easily influenced by the moods of others. You stop being dragged into every emotional storm. You recognize that someone else's bad day doesn't have to become yours. That someone's anger doesn't require your reaction. That someone's opinion doesn't have to shake your confidence. You begin to live from the inside out, not the outside in. And that shift gives you power. Because the truth is, the strongest people aren't the ones who feel the least. They're the ones who feel everything but still make wise decisions. They're the ones who know when to step back, when to speak, when to let go, and when to hold the line. They don't let the emotion of the moment destroy the foundation they've spent years building. Leadership is not about being in control of everything. It's about being in control of yourself, even when everything around you feels out of control. It's about making decisions that align with your values, not your moods. It's about building a life that you don't have to escape from when things get hard. Every time you choose to lead yourself first, you grow stronger. You start to develop trust with yourself. You begin to believe that no matter what comes up, you can handle it without losing yourself. And that belief creates confidence. Not a loud, flashy confidence, but a quiet, deep kind that can't be shaken easily. You'll start noticing the difference in your relationship. You'll communicate more clearly. You'll handle tension with calm. You won't need to win every argument. You won't have to prove your worth. Because when you lead yourself, your presence speaks for you. Your actions carry more weight. Your decisions inspire trust. Not because they're perfect, but because they're made with clarity, not chaos. There's something powerful about being able to say, I feel frustrated, but I'm not going to act on it right now. Or, I feel scared, but I'm going to keep moving. Or, I feel misunderstood, but I'm going to stay grounded. That's what real leadership looks like. And it doesn't start with managing others. It starts with managing your own mind. Make it a daily habit. Every morning, remind yourself, emotions will come, but I lead. Doubts will rise, but I decide. Pressure will build, but I choose my next step. And the more you practice this, the more natural it becomes. You stop needing to control everything around you, because you've built strength within you. This is how you take control of your life, not by controlling your feelings, but by refusing to let them control you, not by avoiding hard emotions, but by walking through them with discipline, not by being unaffected, but by being grounded in something deeper than how you feel in the moment. That's what it means to lead yourself, to look emotion in the eye, respect its presence, and still choose your path with strength and wisdom. Not every day will be easy, but every day is another chance to show up, stay steady, and build a life that's led from within.